Do you know your life matters? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Wayne Freed, who was on our previous show, who contemplated suicide because he felt he had no good reason to live.
You know, I think there are many people who struggle with this throughout their lives. Yeah. Not all people, but there are many. And that's why we see the rise in suicides. People are having thoughts like, why am I even here? Does my life even matter? Does anyone care about me? They go through such hard times and they feel like sometimes there's just no way out. And these voices or these thoughts come to them like, just end it. Your life doesn't matter. There's no purpose. No one cares.
Well, you know, I think we get caught into, it's like a lie. Mm-hmm. And the lie is like this ring. Mm. And in this ring, we're sitting there trying to find good reasons to live when someone's contemplating suicide. You know, they're like, well, should I live for my family? Should I live for, you know, because I'm looking forward to this in my life or this in my life. Mm. And when a person comes to the point where they're cornered and they're like, well, you know, there's really nothing I'm looking forward to. Mm. And also, I'm not really adding anything into society.
Right.
So
they even feel like it's hard for them to be around because they're making it worse for their family. And I felt like that they'd be better off without me, which is such a lie. That is not true at all.
Right. And so we have to come to the moment and realize that our purpose or how we're affecting the world around us doesn't belong to us. In the Bible, it says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." Mm. That means that you were created by God and you're created for him. That is your purpose. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, well, I don't really know if I have a purpose. No, don't do that. You have a purpose because God created you and you are made for him.
Mm-hmm. And your life matters. You may not think that you're important, but you are important to someone. Maybe it's a niece, a nephew, but most of all, you're important to God and he wants you to fulfill your purpose. So I want you to know you're loved. Your life matters. Just take it one day at a time and things will get better for you. Let's hear from Wayne Freed after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Four Seasons Nails and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Like to be pampered? Come to Four Seasons Nails, where customers always leave feeling relaxed and looking good. Located in Denver's historic Highlands neighborhood, Four Seasons Nails is your oasis to escape from stress, offering a wide variety of professional nail and waxing services. Come to Four Seasons Nails at 3481 West 32nd Avenue in Denver, or call them at 303-455-3025.
Do you like listening to the Real Life Radio Show and wish you had a way to share these powerful testimonies with others? Well, now you can. Go to our website at awakeningthenations.com and select from 25 different CDs, each containing 6 Real Life Radio Shows covering specific topics such as addiction, pornography, witchcraft, sexual abuse, suicide, and more. For a small donation, we'll send you CDs of your choice. Just go to www.awakeningthenations.com and order yours today. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us once again is Wayne Freed, and he was very suicidal. He ended up in and out of juvenile homes, in and out of jail, and he said to himself, I'll never kill myself. After hearing that there could be a heaven and a hell, he just was determined I would never, ever do that. But 8 months after saying that, something happened where he thought about it again, and we're going to hear more from him now. Let's welcome to the show, Wayne. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. Well, I was out of jail, on bond, still facing all the trouble that I was facing to begin with. But I had totally forgotten the impact of what was said, that if there's just one chance in 1,000 that the Bible's true, a man would be a pure fool to take his life, knowing that the Bible says he'd spend the rest of eternity in hell. I completely forgot about that. I'm sitting there in my bed, still facing all this time in prison, knowing that the time is getting closer and closer and closer for me to make a decision, because once you're in prison, you can kill yourself in prison, but it's just not easy. On the outside, there's a thousand ways to do it, and it's quick and painless almost. And so I didn't want to wait till I went to prison. I said, I've got to deal with this. And I sat on my bed, and I thought about all the different reasons that maybe I should live, but I just said, no, I don't want to live. I don't want to go to prison. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to take my life. And I stood on my feet to grab the gun to blow my brains out, and something dropped down over me. I had goosebumps all over my body. I sat back down on the bed, and instead of seeing myself as Mr. Tough Guy, dealing drugs, carrying a gun, and all that mess, I saw the top of my head, and I felt sorry for myself. I got a lump in my throat, and I thought, you poor thing, you. You're sad. You're just a sad person. It's so bad. And I had a vision. Things went through my mind. I had really prayed. I mean, you know, when somebody's getting ready to take their life, I mean, they pray, they ask God, if you're real, show me. That's what I did. Just show me. If I knew that you were really there watching and listening, if I was going to face a judgment of some kind. But I said, if I don't know that, I'm not going to prison. And so I had three things that came to my mind, and one of them was this man in the jail saying, if there's just one chance in a thousand, the Bible's true, a man to be a fearful to take his life. And I had this vision, and Satan stood at my right hand. I had pulled the trigger, held the gun to my temple and pulled the trigger, and Satan stood at my right hand, rolled out a scroll, laid his head back, gave a hideous laugh, and I knew I would live forever in the same state of misery that I was in right then.
Wow.
Hopeless. Well, three things. One was a man in the jail. The other thing was a man on a construction job, an old man wearing coveralls. He was a carpenter foreman.
Right.
I was on this construction job, and this carpenter foreman, at lunch, he started talking about miracles. Well, I never heard about miracles, and this guy was telling me about miracles that happened to his thumb. His thumb was going to have to be amputated, and he was healed, and his baby was born, and he described the baby was paralyzed, carried around on a pillow, and he talked about how God healed his baby. Oh. I never heard any of this, and this man would talk with tears running down his cheeks, and the construction workers around him would say, preacher, shut your blankety-blank mouth. If we wanted to hear that stuff, we'd go to church. Well, that man came back to my mind, and I thought, if God lives in any human being, he lives in that old carpenter. And then a third thing came to my mind, and that was The Cross and the Switchblade by David Wilkerson. And he talked about heroin addicts that got born again. They went down to an old-fashioned altar. They got set free from drugs. Their whole life was turned around and changed, and they received the Holy Spirit and spoke in a language they never learned. Now, that grabbed me. I said, if I could do that, I would believe, because that's miraculous.
Right.
And it's not miraculous way out there somewhere. It's miraculous in my life. And that's what I had said all along. Just show me, God, if you're real. And that night, these three things came to my mind as I was reaching for a gun to blow my brains out. And I had this vision. And I raised my hands to God, and I prayed every way I knew how. Dear God, help me. Save me. And I didn't see any change. But the next morning, I rolled out of bed on my knees, and I lifted my hands to God. And I said, God, if you're there, if you're listening to me, if you're really there, I said, you watch me today, because I meant what I said last night, and I'm going to prove it. I said, I'm going to quit drinking, smoking, cussing, drugs, illicit sex. Everything I know is wrong, I'm going to quit it. And everything I know is right, I'm going to do it. And I didn't know anything about saved by grace and this and all that. But what I did know was, you can't be just continuing on like that when you know everything I was doing was wrong. I can't just keep on doing that if I'm serious with God. So I said, I want to get your attention. I want you to know that I mean business, because if I don't find out that the Bible's true, I'm going to blow my brains out and never look back.
Wow. So tell me about what happened after you saw the three things in the vision and how that changed your life. Did you receive Jesus and start living after him? Like you said, that you're going to give up all these drugs and everything. Can you tell me about that?
Well, let me tell you this. I started going to church. My girlfriend went with me. She went to this church where the carpenter was on the job, and I liked it. It was different than anything I'd ever gone to. It was not like any church I'd ever been in. The music, get down in your feet, you know. The preacher, when he preached, it's like he was talking right to me. I just never experienced anything like it. It was different. But let me just say this. Somehow or another, I got offended. After about 6 weeks of going to church, I got offended and I quit. I called my girlfriend and I said, do you have any drugs? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, I got the syringe. I'll come get you. And we went back. I got her on my Harley and we came back to my apartment. And we spent the night together drinking and drugging and all that that goes with it. And the next morning when we woke up, she said something as simple as, how do you feel? And I raised my fist back. I caught myself just in time. Just a popper in the mouth for nothing. Just for nothing. And she saw it in me, and she turned and walked away and went downstairs and waited for me to crank the motorcycle. And I thought to myself, what's wrong with me? I never saw the evil that was in me. There was something changing in me, and I saw it. Now, I hadn't had a chance to think it through, but we got on the motorcycle, and I started taking her back, and the Lord and the devil were battling for my soul and my mind. It was like the devil put doubt in my mind, and then the Lord reminded me of some things that I heard from the Bible being preached, and back and forth, and back and forth, and to tell you the truth, I made a choice, and I chose Jesus, and when I did, I broke like a baby, and I cried. Actually, in the rain. I thought at first maybe the rain will hide my tears because I'm Mr. Tough Guy, you know. My girlfriend's right next to me on the motorcycle, and I didn't want her to see me cry. I mean, I wept and sobbed like a baby, and I cried all the way, and Jesus Christ came into my heart. He changed my life, and I dropped her off and never looked back. And 48 years later, almost 49, I've had my problems and ups and downs, but Jesus has changed my life, and I'm a free man today with 3 kids and 7 grandkids.
Wow, that's amazing. Look how God changed your life. And you know, there are people listening right now who need a change in their life, and we're going to pray for them. Thank you so much, Wayne, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I think this is a story about how sometimes we can make a commitment never to do something and then end up in the same spot, you know? He made a commitment not to commit suicide, and then suddenly he started contemplating it later on. I think many of us can get to that point where we think we're going to not do something and we end up being tempted to do the very same thing. And so, Father, we're realizing right now that if any of us are struggling with anything, any type of sin, though we may say, I'll never do it, we have to realize, but by the grace of God, that we would not do that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Lord God, I'm sensing that there are many who are trying to change and say, well, you know, I really wanted that, but why do I keep ending up in the same spot that I always am? And the reason why is because we need to be made new. We need to be made completely whole and new. We need to be born again. So Jesus, we take this time to pray for those who are always struggling with ending up in the same spot, the wrong spot. And Jesus, we give our lives to you. We ask you to come into our lives and make us born again so that we can end up in the right destination, the path that you have us on, in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. God loves you so much, and he wants to set you free so you don't have to feel the hurt, the pain, the suicidal thoughts. Jesus has the power to set you free. Call out to him. He loves you. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.